Well, to remind you, we are studying the book of Genesis, and we're in the midst of the book of Genesis. We're in the midst of the life of Joseph, and that's kind of a large section, chapter 37 through to chapter 50. And last we were with our hero Joseph. He was in prison. Remember, he was sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites, sold by them to in Egypt to Potiphar, who was captain of the guard. Through the false accusations of Potiphar's wife, Potiphar delivered him over to prison. So he left Joseph in prison. And we were told back in chapter 39, we're in chapter 40 for this week, but in chapter 39, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And so once again, we saw that Joseph, as he was in Potiphar's house, became in prison. He was basically running the show. I wonder if that was the case back in, we're not told that, but in Jacob's house. You know, remember he had the leader's coat. He was reporting back. So you wonder if he didn't even then show God's blessing.
I think
but,
God would have said that, though, wouldn't you?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Sort of or maybe not. But that definitely we see him then rising to the top here. And so here's the chief of the prison putting on him assistant chief prison uniform, I guess. Okay. And one of the things that he did is this looks like he's maybe torturing someone, but actually he's just giving water to a thirsty prisoner. And I think we could have done that better, but that's meanwhile, while he's in prison and Potiphar is back home, we come to Pharaoh's house. The word Pharaoh is a good Egyptian word. In other words, it's truly, that's the Egyptian word. It literally means large house. And so here we find ourselves in Pharaoh's palace. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry, and his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So you notice he's called king of Egypt, and he's called Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the more common label. But I think we're just emphasizing his power and his authority. He is the king of Egypt. Notice it's repeated here. He's the king of Egypt, the king of Egypt. Let me ask you, you're looking at different translations. It says the past, after it came past the things that the butler and the baker. What do you have for butler, the first one?
Cupbearer.
Anyone else? Literally, it's a Hebrew word that could be translated something like the one who makes you drink. So butler is, maybe that's extrapolating a little bit and said, well, you know, the one who brings the cup, maybe he had more, it was kind of a senior position. I'm not sure why they chose to translate that butler. And literally, it's these, the one who, the cup bearer or something, the drink bearer of the king and the baker. And they offended their lord. What do you have for offend? Does everybody have offend?
Committed an offense.
Change your word. I'm going to put you on the spot. Uh-huh. Translate your home language there. If you tell us the word, it won't make any sense. So you can say anything, and we say, "Oh, that's nice." But what does it look like to you as you look quickly at it?
Yeah, it's a sense that kutrotiyara means they committed a crime. You can translate it as committed a crime.
Literally, this is the word they sinned. Okay. Which is, so offense, yeah, it could be to sin, to offend. So in other words, it's more not an offense of like they said something unkind. An offense more like a legal or criminal offense is, I think, something of, they did something bad. How's that? That's the.
Like sin,
it's the same.
It doesn't come like. I don't read it as sin in
yours. Okay.
No.
I don't know of any translation that really renders it that, but it's the standard word for sin. And sometimes you wonder, I guess they're trying to, you know, maybe we don't think of sinning against the king, but it's the idea of offending, breaking the law in some way. And so Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. Do you know we often go through the who's involved, who, what, where, when, why, how? The who's are really, notice the repetitiveness of the who's. The butler is named twice. The baker is mentioned twice. The king is mentioned. Is it, how many times is the word king, king, and Pharaoh? So it's really emphasizing, you know, the eminence and authority of this one they offended. You know, let's face it. You know, partly that's how big the offense is, right? If I offend a crosswalk guard, that's one offense. If I offend a king, that's another level of offense. So we get the idea. But so here was the butler who served in the house of Pharaoh, or the cupbearer. See, there's the cup, and there's the and he's the one who caused people to drink. We see him here offering beverages. But somehow he offended and was sent away.
Did you have, when you go back, you don't have to go back on it, but you said the chief baker and the chief butler? Is that what it said?
Uh-huh. It says chief baker and chief butler.
Baker, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Then there's the baker. And we see somehow maybe he offended, and Pharaoh's upset with him, and he's dragged off as well. So off they went. There went the butler, and there went the baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And so they were in custody for a while. So why don't we, first of all, so tell me, as you read that, do you notice anything? Just first impressions or second or third times through this text?
Not particularly that, but the previous one, the word Lord was mentioned in small letters.
Yes.
Lord and King.
Yes, which is a different word than Lord, God's name.
Right.
House?
Well, he says the house of the captain of the guard in the prison. So I don't know if he lived in the guard in the prison or if.
Sometimes the word house can mean just place. One of the examples that immediately comes to mind is when Ruth is told to go out and during when she was working, they said, "Now if you need to take a rest, just go to that place." It was called a house, literally. So it could be, you know, it's his place over which he was responsible, or the prison may have been there in his estate. Okay, so let's look at do a little careful studying here. I want you to really examine the text carefully here. Going back to look at chapter 40, verse 3 and 4, and compare them to chapter 39, verses 22 and 23. And that's probably not what I wanted to do. That's not the best passage.
Both of them putting him in charge.
He was put in charge.
Putting him in charge of the butler and the baker.
Yeah.
He was in charge of everything else, but.
Well, that's not that's a good observation, but not what I'm wanting you to see because I gave you the wrong verse. So now it's like, that's what I get for copying them in there. But back in chapter 39, around verse, let's see. Let me just remind you of this. Back in chapter 39, Joseph, verse 1, when he'd been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Notice up here, in now, it says, the captain of the guard put them in the prison. Now, back in chapter 39, who's the captain of the guard? Potiphar. And it is the captain of the guard. And so that suggests to me what's going on here is, so Pharaoh put them in prison and in the house of the captain of the guard. In other words, and remember I've said the word guard literally means slaughterers or maybe executioners. But it seems like Potiphar, part of his responsibility was the prison. And so it was under Potiphar, and the captain of the guard, we're back with this over here where our passage, charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. So there's the chief of the prison, we saw earlier, the keeper of the prison, and there's the captain of the guard, Potiphar. And so Potiphar is taking charge of these and puts them under the care of Joseph.
Whom he just put in jail.
Well, and again, that may have been a while. It may have been a couple of years. But, yes.
So it almost reads that Joseph was back in Potiphar's house.
Or under his domain. In other words, the house seems to be, maybe it's part of his estate palace. Knows maybe where his home is puts him in charge of the prison as well. Maybe.
Prison.
Yeah.
On this, is there anything that suggests there might be more than one captain, Esther? Could it be that this is not Potiphar?
It's a possibility. Notice his name is only used. Remember I mentioned, I think last week, his name, Potiphar, is only in two passages. Chapter 37 at the end and chapter 39 at the beginning. The rest of the time he's called the captain of the guard. And so it would... Actually, my first reaction was, it must be a generic title. But normally you would think the narrative continuing like that would tell you if that captain of the guard is different from the captain of the guard of the previous chapter. But can't be dogmatic, and that's a valid question.
Right. Yeah. Understood. Because where I was going with that was he just threw him in prison.
Yeah.
And he gives him another chance to be of service and puts him in authority again. So I don't know how that works. Unless there was a period of time where he cooled off from his anger, he meaning Potiphar cooled off from his anger and was back to giving Joseph a chance.
Did you all hear what Cheju was saying? One of the questions is, we can be dogmatic, but it's the captain of the guard, and so, frankly, I looked at a lot of commentaries, and most say it seems like, but we can't be dogmatic. Some say flat out, of course, it's Potiphar.
They haven't sentenced him yet, though, have they? Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph's in prison.
But he wasn't sentenced to a term or anything like that, so they really didn't know what to do with him yet, possibly?
No, I think he's there. He's just passed away. Joseph's in prison. So here's what I'm thinking. Then Chaju says, well, if it's Potiphar, what do we do with that? And so wrestling with, what does that tell us about Potiphar and Joseph? Any other thoughts on that? Chaju was giving some thoughts. Anyone else want to expand, or what's your reaction to that?
He owned Joseph because he paid for him.
There you go. For one thing, yeah, he owned him. And he has some rights to him.
But Potiphar's still seeing that God's with Joseph. I mean, he has to believe that he was with him in his household, and now he's with him still in prison. You would think he would...
So, in other words, he's still recognizing, I think, or let's just say, to start with, Joseph's skill. You may think someone's a scoundrel and still think they're skillful. Like, you may think somebody, you know, I wouldn't live next door to that guy, but if I'm going to have heart surgery, I'm going to, you know, it might be like that. If he's really over the prison, ultimately... So then he's been maybe getting reports back. Maybe the keeper of the prison is saying, hey, that guy you put in prison, he's great.
I'm hands off. He's running the show. And Potiphar's saying, I know. By the way, what do you think has happened to Potiphar's enterprises since he gave up Joseph?
Or his wife.
Or his wife. Yeah. But things are kind of tanking, aren't they? Probably, maybe, because his house was blessed because of Joseph. Mm-hmm. He leaves the house and all of a sudden, all these problems start showing up again. And I'm going to suggest one other thought. Why did he specifically entrust these two to Joseph?
That was just God's providence, and that's the only thing we can from that.
Basic, right here. Once again, we see the providence of God. God is doing these are palace connections. But why? What would motivate if Potiphar's motivated? What might motivate him to do that?
Make sure they were taken care of in prison because they were important people.
I'm wondering if that's what's going on here. Is these are chief baker, chief let's call him butler, very closely, especially the butler, closely linked to Pharaoh. Maybe he knows that sometimes Pharaoh's up and sometimes he's down. They may be back in power, but in other words, I think he is maybe saying, you know, these are high officials that have been sent over here. We don't know for how long. Let's give them the best of care. And it even suggests that they were maybe in a separate part of the prison. But he's putting them directly under Joseph's care to make sure they get the they're well cared for right now. That's what I'm, you know, it seems like what's going on here. Hand of God in providence is, guess what? God's put him, so he's connecting with two of the most powerful people in the country, and certainly the most powerful people in the prison. Okay, good. Okay. So, so here we see them being brought to prison under the care, you see, of the chief assistant, Joseph. And this is exactly what the scene would have looked like, right? Who knows? Okay, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning, and looked at them, and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And so, here we see him talking to, I think that's the butler. Okay? You're looking for, and the word sad is, it can mean like, it could be used of a tempest, a storm at sea. You know, sometimes sad is might just look like, kind of, you can't tell, are you sad or sleepy? And then there's the sense of this someone that's in turmoil.
That's troubled in mind.
Yeah, troubled is a good expression for that. But he, you know, so, okay. Now, I want you to look at that text, and I want you to take a careful note as you look at it. And tell me what else you observe about it. What's the significance?
Reading. Or writing.
Not the picture. The scripture. You're supposed to follow the example of the note taker here.
It's really distracting.
Yeah.
Because he's not looking at the book. He's looking at the
right. Well, because he's looking at what's the most important. He's looking at the text.
So that was a good one. You can't see my eyes on that.
Yeah.
I understand how you got Macy in the picture.
Yeah, really?
The other one in there.
Doesn't that look like our dog?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I had to throw that in.
Yeah.
So, what's Macy noticing? What do you think she's seeing in this text?
It's making the point that they each had a dream, but the dreams are different and relate to the individual men, not that they're the same dream by two men.
Okay, so it wasn't the same dream,
no.
But they each had one dream each.
So they had both of them.
And so again, one of the things is, I think of Joseph is saying, and maybe they're even saying, well, what is God doing here? And as we'll notice, some of the details are different but similar. So that seems to suggest God is doing something. And it was common in the ancient world to think the gods communicate through dreams. And so he saw them the morning after this affair. And I've always been struck by this about it. Joseph came in the morning and looked at them and saw they were sad. By the way, Kate, troubled. What other translations do you have for that?
The next verse that says, "Why are your faces downcast?"
Why are your faces downcast?
Distraught.
Distraught. Distraught's another good word.
Dejected is.
Dejected could work. But very definitely troubled is an active, it's, again, think of a storm. Have you ever looked at someone and just think, there's a storm going on in their heart right now?
Young is morose.
Morose, okay.
Depressed.
Depressed. But here's what I want you to notice. Who's talking to them?
Joseph.
What are his conditions?
He's in prison.
He's in prison. Sold as a slave by his brothers, falsely accused, and imprisoned by the master, frankly, he probably had grown to care about. And here he is in whatever it is, it's not a nice place. But still he notices what's going on, and that they're upset, and he goes and talks to them. You see, I really think when our eyes are on the Lord, it liberates us. We're not focusing on our problems. And so because his eyes are on the Lord, he sees them and he can reach out. But when our eyes are only on ourself, we don't see what anyone else is troubled about.
Maybe it's the fact that Joseph was taking over a lot of the things that need to be done, and they were they're not steady about, not really confident that they will stay there maybe or something.
It could be that they're uncertainty about the circumstance. But again, I'm struck by that. That when we're walking with the Lord, even if our circumstances are difficult, He's able to be sensitive to the needs of others. And not say, well, you don't understand, I'm having a hard time. He sees their trouble and he takes it to heart. And so I'm challenged by that. That if our eyes are on the Lord, then we can see others.
He says that he referred to Pharaoh's officers, which tells me that the butler and the baker were both considered officers in their status.
Yes. These are high terms. That's a high term. And so he reaches out to them. And he, as Macy is doing, he took careful note.
Macy's great.
Yes, he is. And so here's their answer. They said, we each had a dream. So they've already been talking. And we each had, and there's no interpreter. And again, in the ancient world, dreams have meaning. And so they're both confused. They're troubled. Their life is upside down. And so Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. So what does that say to you when he says, what's he getting at when he says interpretations belong to God?
Well, he's boldly saying he has a connection with God.
Ooh. Yeah. I can give you a God's view of your dream. That is pretty bold. But he's been walking with the Lord, and dreams have been a part of his story already. Can you think of another example where someone is famous for dream interpretation? And I'm not thinking about Freud.
Daniel.
Daniel. Over in chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 29, 30. As for you, he said to Nebuchadnezzar, as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. Remember, the wise men couldn't help him? And Daniel's brought in and he says, you know, God is telling you something, your majesty. And I'm about to tell you what it means, but it's not because I'm special. Interpretations come from the Lord. But he says, it's not because I'm wiser, but because God is communicating to me. And so both cases, in our pride, we'd like to say, you know what? I'm the smartest man in the world. Sit down and I'll tell you what you dream. You know, look at me. But both Daniel and Joseph want God to get the credit. You know, that's different from our world, isn't it? That one of the things that struck me in the academic world, I'm talking not in seminary, but at university, I remember, you'd hear these professors, one in particular, I can always remember him, he'd say, now, I'm the first one who noticed this. So-and-so wrote an article in such-and-such a date. But I had a footnote about it 2 years earlier. And it was like, and I'm thinking, and who cares? But it was very important. Who gets the credit for this idea? Daniel wants to make it really clear. I don't get the credit. God has. And of course, you've heard the saying often said that it's amazing what can be accomplished if people aren't worried about who gets the credit for it. But in particular, Daniel and Joseph, it's not just humility, it's the fear of the Lord. I am not going to steal God's glory. Now, this is the Lord. I am just the pitcher that he's using to pour out his riches. And so that's Joseph's concern. Yes.
Is it not, isn't that more realistic that it's the Spirit of God that's doing that, not God himself?
Well, the Spirit of God is God.
Well, I know, but it comes from a different place. The Holy Spirit or something.
The Holy Spirit is God. And so, yes, it's the Holy Spirit who does. That's typically his ministry, is the ministry of kind of working in our hearts. And so that would likely be the Holy Spirit who's communicating that to him. That's true.
So is it possible then that God probably talked to a lot of different people? I mean, we know that he did. But is that normal?
No, I would say it's not. But God will communicate, did communicate through individuals for a purpose. And so really, that really made it clear, Joseph's my man, Daniel's my man. And so that's kind of a lesson. He wants to be clear, I'm just God's spokesman. Well, the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. So there were the grapes, and he squeezed them into the cup while he's still asleep. See, it's dreaming.
Oh.
And he served Pharaoh while he's dreaming. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. So Daniel lays out before him, the dream has meaning. Now again, we have to be so careful. Some people want to take this and therefore, you know, try and interpret dreams, you know, like this. This was a gracious revelation of God, as he did in Nebuchadnezzar's case. It's not the norm. And the only way he's able to interpret is not because he read a good book on dream interpretation. God, the Holy Spirit, is revealing to him the meaning.
I thought it was interesting that he didn't have to actually go back to the inquire of the law.
Ah. It seems like he was just clear. Maybe God was communicating with him already. Yes. In other words, yes, I would have
Like Daniel, remember, he spent some time, we need to pray. Joseph went on saying to the butler, "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I've done nothing here that should put me into the dungeon." So once again, I'm going to ask you to take some careful note of the text. Okay, what do you see here? Did anything strike you? You did better when I had the dog up there. Do I need to do it? Okay. How about a couple things that strike me? Remember, when it is well with you, what's he talking about there? There. When you're restored. It's not if, right? He knows this is, if God says it's going to happen, is it going to happen? And he has full confidence in God's word. And in this case, God's word, God's telling him, he is communicating truth. And so he has no doubt at all, he will be restored. That should be our approach to scriptures. If God's word says it, that's it. That's the way it is. But also, I've been emphasizing his.
I understand too that he hadn't got a. Yet they hadn't told him exactly what's going to happen, how long he's going to be there or anything. That's what they're saying again too. What, done nothing here that they should put me in the dungeon.
Well, now he's talking about himself, yeah. And I think here's what I think it's important to notice is that he's joyful, he's trusting, he's content, but he still wants to get out of it.
Yeah.
And he will take the appropriate measures to get out. So as we may be in a circumstance where we serve where we are, blossom where you're planted, but that doesn't mean we don't try and change positions when God wills. And so I like that balance here. He is serving with excellence where God has put him, but he's also doing what he can to get out of a difficult situation.
But he's complaining a little bit too.
I don't know if the word's complain or just statement of fact. I don't deserve to be here. Now I remember one time I was talking to a prisoner in a prison. And he said to me, I've talked to most of the guys here in the prison. He said, you know what's really amazing? I am the only one here who's ever broken the law. Everyone's innocent. Well, I did wrong. But no one else is claiming their guilt. Everyone else is saying, I got set up. Joseph is saying, he's not one of those, but he is saying, I didn't do any crime. So that's why I'm basing my appeal not on get me out of this place, pay off a bribe or something. An injustice has been done, and I'd love to present my case to Pharaoh. Would be something, but so it's not as much a complaint. But it's for example, if you find yourself with a devastating illness, it might be traumatic, but at the same time, I think we're called to trust the Lord and joyfully serve him. But that doesn't mean we don't take medicine. Trusting the Lord and serving him in the midst of our circumstances doesn't rule out using whatever means we can to improve our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so that's what he's doing. Okay, so there's a healthy balance there.
If you're wearing a collar like he was in those previous pictures, you'd be ready to get out. Yeah,
and wear that silly looking outfit. Yeah. Okay.
One of the other things I noticed in this text is the mystery of God's revelation, because God reveals to him what's going to happen to the cupbearer and then the baker, but Joseph doesn't know himself what's going to happen to him.
Yeah, that is amazing, isn't it? He can tell them, 3 days, here's what's going to happen, and he doesn't know what's going to happen for himself. Otherwise, he'd be saying, "You skunk! You're going to get out of here, but then you're going to lie to me." You're right. A class. That's another reminds me of the situation. Remember, we're in Paul. Here, he had a brother in Christ who was a
It broke his heart to see him sick. Paul, who could raise the dead, couldn't heal him. You know, God, there's that mystery of limitations.
Is it something? I'm sorry.
It makes me wonder about where he says, and make mention of me to Pharaoh. I wonder what that mention was. He had just come off interpreting the dream for the guy, for the butler. And coming off of that dream, mentioning it, perhaps he told Pharaoh that, you know, 3 days before you brought me out of prison, he foretold this. You know, maybe that, when he finally did make mention to Pharaoh.
That would be, yeah, that, and that would say something. This guy's special, Pharaoh.
Yeah.
This guy's special. Shade, you were going to say?
No, I lost my train of thought. I was going to say, in another study when we were talking, somebody said, I wish I knew what would happen in the future. And I said, to do what? You're not going to be able to change it, right? Yeah. So if you were able to change it, it would mean something. But if, let's say, for instance, you were told you're going to be dying in about 3 days or a month. That's what's going to happen to you, right? So, I don't know. So,
yeah.
Be careful about what you ask.
Yeah. Maybe we don't really want to know. Yeah. Well, of course, when the baker heard, the butler heard, he was very excited, and Joseph was happy to tell him. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, okay, that he said, that makes sense, it's great. He said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. There were three baskets on my, so there's some similarities. He was in his dream, I was in mine. He had three bunches of grapes. There were three baskets, white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head.
Oh.
And so here he is explaining, here's my dream. There's these white baskets would be typical for carrying baked goods back in Egypt of the time. And there were lots of different, several determined, you know, you can look at vocabulary. Baking and pastries or something must have been really tremendous because there's a lot of vocabulary for baked goods in ancient Egyptian. But the birds were eating it out. And so Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. Three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. Could you notice something in those two dreams? Let's go take our microscope and or magnifying glass and look around. Do you notice a difference that you can see in the two dreams that might point to what he's saying? One goes before Pharaoh, one dies.
Well, the one that the cupbearer was actually putting the grapes into the cup to give to Pharaoh. So it was, he was connected, but the baker was losing everything, was taken away.
And Pharaoh doesn't show up in his dream.
Yeah.
So one is seen, you're back doing what you used to do, you're putting a cup in Pharaoh's hand. Here, the birds are getting your bakery. So that right there is a different, you know, that shows you. And so just the thought of the birds and all that, he's distraught.
He's got a lot to be distraught about.
I think so.
Yeah.
And he's got 3 days. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership again. He placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Here's the butler going off. And Joseph probably reminding him, right? And there he is before Pharaoh. And here he is saying, yes. I have my job back and I've got my life. And the baker came before Pharaoh and they said, get him out of here. The final verse of the chapter, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph but forgot him. Notice the emphasis. He didn't remember, he forgot. Why did he forget? Okay, Cheju would tell us the providence of God, and Cheju would be right. Yeah, exact. First of all, God's working his... It's not time for Joseph to get out of prison. But what are some other aspects of how did what did God use, or how did this happen?
He was busy.
Right,
thinking about his own good fortune, thinking about himself.
He was the opposite of Joseph. Joseph didn't focus on his own circumstances, bad though they were. The butler's focusing on his circumstances, good though they were. You know what? When our circumstances could be good or bad, and we can still focus on them and take our eyes off the Lord and other people. There's some people that are so blessed, all they can see are their blessings. When some people are so blessed, they see, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. I can bless more people. That's not where the butler was. So he was so excited about his own benefits, he totally forgot.
But to that point, Simon, like in his defense, Joseph may have just been a limp, because you're talking about prisoners. How often do we even think or pray for, you know, people that are incarcerated? You know, you're rubbing shoulders with royalty, and that's all you're doing. You're not worried about the common man.
Yeah, so maybe he's so used to the greats. I mean, he was the chief butler of the, you know, he talked to the king every day. Yeah, maybe that it made it easier for him to. That's just a, and not only a prisoner, a Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, the racism is there. But my reaction to this though is simply this.
Reminds me of my job. They're leaders.
Don't you just feel that way about this guy? Really? You're all he's done for you. And so the butler is back in the glorious presence of the king, and Joseph is back, is still in prison. And so here's a question. Is God still with Joseph?
I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
Because that dream also, when you think about it, it was more for Joseph than for the butler himself. Because irrespective of whether that dream was going to be interpreted or not, there is a possibility that he would still have been restored. Right? But this, I think, was more a direction for Joseph as to, or maybe a general...
That's a very good point. The dream did not change anything for the butler or the baker. If they had known nothing, they still would have been one restored. It was all about planting a seed. But again, God thinks in the long term. The seed's been planted later on. A dream is going to come to Pharaoh. And now the butler will remember. So you're right, the dreams are really part of God's plan. So yes, God's working through all this, but we might say, God can't be working, this hurts. And instead of saying, God is with me, and I have him. Okay. Well, with that, we can... Good thoughts. We will come back to that passage on the Lord's Day.